My guest today needs no introduction, especially if you are a Nollywood fan, Rita Dominic. 23 years at the top of her game, and she's presently in theaters in the role of her life, and the movies La Femme and Jola. And of course, I had to ask her about that famous photo of her on a set in Someone that broke the Nigerian internet. On with Today Today, Rita Dominic. You know, I always like asking people who are veterans. do you at any time get, because you're doing a lot, I think you're doing a lot of interviews for this. Well, not a lot, but for you, a lot.
Yes, for me, I'm doing a lot of interviews.
Yeah. It didn't occur to me until we were at, wanting to fix the interview. I was going to watch the film. I'm like, oh no, I should sit down with you. You know, but later I thought you'll be doing film rounds because I saw you somewhere.
Yes, press and all.
Yes, does it get exhausting? Are you tired of, not physically exhausting, but just exhausting?
Just generally.
Yes,
it is exhausting generally because, first of all, you are going from one place to the other, going from one media house to the other, talking about this film, relieving the experiences and everything. It does take its toll mentally and physically. But, hey, I've done this for 23 years, so when it's time to do media rounds for a film that has come out, I know what to do. I'm ready for it. And then afterwards, I just crash out.
This film, I've seen it twice. And it just came out this week.
And you still see it again.
And I'm sure I'll still see it again. Because that's how I am. When I enter a role like that with a movie.
Because you're quite an artist, Judy.
I hear that.
So I think that somebody like you will connect deeply with La Femme Angela.
Right. Yeah. It's weird because when I sent a message to Mildred, who is your co-conspirator, she said to me, Chide, you are an artist. That's exactly the word she used yesterday.
Wow.
I will show you the text message.
Oh my goodness. You see, I'm not even aware.
It's weird.
Wow.
What the director does, and this is Mildred, is she disciplines actors and cuts out the fat.
Yes. Absolutely.
From the walk.
Yes.
So she's, I can see an actor who I've seen another thing walking, and I'm like, and his facial expression, like, this person, this character has been directed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's, I always like to say, call Mildred an actor's director.
Yes, she's certainly an actor's
director. She is an actor's director. We don't have too many of them.
We don't.
There are very few of them.
We don't,
And what is an actor's director? An actor's director helps you dig out acting demons you never knew you had inside you. And how does she do that? She helps you understand the character. She helps you create a backstory. Now, what is a backstory? You know a backstory, but basically a backstory helps you understand the character, you role you're playing. You create a history for this character, like who is she or who is he? Environment, how was she raised? Why does she behave the way she behaves and things like that? So once you have that understanding where this person is coming from, it helps you interpret the role better. And she does that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes, she does that.
If I want to talk about the two movies that you've done for yourself, I would say
The Meeting.
The Meeting and this.
Yes.
Now, The Meeting, I thought you were having so much fun.
Was I?
You were not?
I certainly wasn't.
How?
Because, I mean, that was the first time I was producing.
Ah.
Exactly. So the tension, the pressure was enormous. So imagine producing for the first time and playing such a complex character as Clara Ikeda.
Yeah, Clara. Yes.
You know, it was difficult, but it was it was fun, I guess, because I had some of my colleagues and friends on set. So in between, we made it fun. You know, we had fun with it, and I guess having them there sort of made it easier. I don't want to use the word easy because it wasn't.
It wasn't easy.
You know, but well, they helped us get through the shoot. Let me just put it that way.
That was your first producing?
Yes. Sorry. I said La Femme.
Well, that's where we
the
are.
The meeting. The meeting was my first.
I mean, I guess on some level, as a producer, it makes so much sense. As somebody who produces TV things. But as a fan, it's almost as if I'm like, oh, I'm sad that you didn't have fun because we had fun watching
it. Yeah.
And your character, I mean, before then, people had never seen you like
in something that.
You know, Nollywood sometimes typecasting, so they will see you in sultry roles, sexy roles, upper class lady roles, banking superior roles.
Yes.
Was that why you did it?
Funny enough, I didn't want to play that role. I'm not joking. Mildred convinced me. I didn't want to do it. I refused.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I felt, okay, I don't want to be dealing with this complex character I'm producing for the first time. I don't want to deal with all that, you know, and we had, she talked to me about it. I still refused, you know. Then one day we had this conversation and, you know, she just believed that I could do it. In fact, she just found a way to press my move button.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let me try, you know, and let me do it and do, you know, wear the hat of a producer and play Clara. Because Clara Kimber, you know, some characters are very demanding.
Yes. And,
yes. And Clara Kimber is a very demanding character that you have to give her your all.
Yes.
And I didn't know if I could do that, give her my all.
Wow. Also.
Exactly.
I'm literally from the same spot.
Yes. You know,
to own an entire movie from the same
spot, exactly. You know, so anyway, so I went in kicking, screaming, and I did it.
You know,
I wasn't meant to be. I didn't want to do
really?
It. Honestly.
So when you finished doing it,
I was glad that I did.
I remember when I knew that it was a phenomenon because I also remember that Segun Adeniyi, who was the chairman of the editorial board of Disney.
Yes.
Wrote a review about it.
Yes.
That's how I knew that this movie had become a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
Because
he's
a political writer.
Absolutely. Because even the president then, President Goodluck Jonathan, actually ordered all the ministers to watch
to see it.
Yes, to see it.
It's true. Because it was a parody of...
Yes, the minister waiting in the office to see the minister and all that. So I remember they called and ordered all the ministers to watch.
Really?
Yeah.
I can never forget it. Go the red! Oh, that
sometimes,
was
I don't even recognize that woman. Like, who is this?
So, guys, just shoot her small. Just shoot her in the leg.
One shot.
Little.
Come to understand the circle, or rather the society where I work in. They like certain genres. Mm. And then serious film people like certain genres. Mm. And I've come to understand, too, that not all films are made for the big screen. Some films are... Some films are more enjoyable when you're watching the comfort of your living room. Mm. That's the truth, you know. Mm. So I've come to terms with that. And I believe that serious-minded, like not serious-minded, but art lovers will appreciate such work, you know, and that's what it is. If it does well, fine. You just, I always tell even like some younger colleagues, look, you know, at the end of the day, I know every actor prays that their work travels or whatever. However, just do your best and just leave it. Leave the rest to... Pass that beef. Let's put it that way. Yeah, because you can find good work and be involved in good work. Mm-hmm. When I say good work, good story, telling and everything.
Yeah.
However, what happens to it lies in the hands of the producers in terms of it traveling, doing well internationally or even home or, you know, doing all the ads and marketing it properly the way it should be marketed. Not everyone knows how to do that, you know, so, I'm happy that... I think the film she won an award. I think.
Ah, okay.
Yes, I was at that award event. I think she won an award.
Is it a movie I've seen? Do you know
it's an Igbo film.
So, what film was it?
Bound by Lillian Afegbai. She produced it. And Frank Raja directed it.
Do you run away from controversy? You run away from trouble. No, not trouble. Controversy.
Let me put it this way. I'm very big on energy. So there's certain things I'd rather stay away from.
Yes.
Yeah, because certain things affect my... I'm an artist, so I really get drawn into things, you know, so I'd rather stay away from certain things that will discombobulate me or something like that. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, I guess I guess because it's almost as if I could... So it's good that you answered it this way. So first, it's like when you're answering the question, I could see you saying, avoid trouble. but there's also the fact that I've always said this energy thing around you. Like, you know, it's like almost like when somebody is with you, it's like, don't behave yourself. but in a... You know, let's just keep it.
Okay.
Positive.
Okay.
Nobody has told you that before.
I like positive energy around me. Yeah. However, I'm quite a very playful person, especially if I'm comfortable with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I'm comfortable with you, Rita is just really ground, like just goofy, silly, and all that.
I haven't seen that part.
Yes, exactly. So, exactly.
I've seen the sweet part. I've seen the kind, polite part.
Oh, but I can be quite goofy and just silly and, you know, do silly things and just have fun. So, I'm very big on energy. There's certain things that I don't think I'd ordinarily want around me. You know, certain just I'm big on energy, so right. I'm very, you know, careful yeah. with
certain things that let around me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go about La Femme Angela. You know, I want to pretend. I try to just push it forward.
So I can see that.
You know.
I can see that.
So again, first, it's such a so people saw the meeting, you know, and then this other movie is the other end.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But then it's not so when you walked into the bar scene, which was the first time we were seeing you in the movie, I thought, oh, sultry, sexy. No, now we've moved past this, you know. And then you do that first thing where you're like, what are we playing?
Uh-huh.
And then, so who was also incredible in the film? Yes. And then you're just like, I asked, what are we playing? This one, you're also producing on this one. Do you have fun on this one? Or is the same parole?
It's the same thing when you're producing and acting.
So Angela's a very dark character.
Yeah, she's a very dark character. So I remember when we were shooting in the lounge, the basement scene or basement scenes.
Yeah.
It was so dark in there.
Yes, literally also
dark. Yes, exactly. No, all the things that happened there. Yeah. So it affected me, actually. I wasn't sleeping well. Like, I'll try to sleep and I'll wake up abruptly. I remember one night, my assistant came in. Yeah. No, it was now early hours of the morning.
Right.
So she was trying to either get tea, wake me up and things like that. And then she was trying to be quiet because she knew I was tired and I had slept really late, like pretty late. So I just woke up abruptly, you know. And I remember her running to the bed, asking, Auntie, what's wrong? Are you okay? You know. I said, I'm really connecting with her. Like, it's a really... I don't like this. The energy is bad, and I see it's Angela has just taken
Entered
over
the building.
Yes, yeah. So it happened. Yeah. So I had moments like that on set, and then even the moment. Okay, no spoilers. I don't want to. There's a part in the film. You know, the dark scene where they. Yes,
yeah.
That was. I got on set and I just zoned out. I didn't speak to anyone because I was preparing
for that.
So there were scenes where I knew. She had taken over, you know, and I just let her do her thing, you know. And, you know, when you're in that space, it's difficult because you're combining, producing, making sure things are going.
And then
at the same time, even though we had hands, we had capable hands because we had like, co-producers.
Yes.
There's something else, production.
Managers, assistants.
Managers and things like that, assistants and all. So we had all that, you know. However, as a producer and owner of the Audrey Silver Company, you still want to make sure things are running smoothly. So imagine doing that and at the same time having to be in that dark space, you know, and not be distracted. But, you know, so it's never easy.
It's never easy.
Never easy. I did a lot of research to start with. Angela is a performer. I'm not a performer in real life, you know. So I researched... So many singers from, you know, jazz singers from the 60s, 50s. However, there was one that was my case study, who's an African, the late Brenda Fassie.
Right.
And why did I choose Brenda Fassie? I felt that there were slight similarities between her and Angela, because, you see, she was disturbed up until she died. This performer woman is not, she's disturbed.
Yeah.
So I felt, okay, I could draw some things from there, you know. So, I studied her a lot and I zoned out completely from everything, from socializing, social media. I think I was off social media for a while when I was on set filming, you know. Because, look, at the end of the day, these characters that you play, they want to use you as a vessel to tell the world their story, and they want you to be as authentic as you can be. And how do you do that? Is trying to just let go, just forget Rita, and open up to them, embrace them, you know. So, and this is how I do it. Like, just stay off certain things that I like, that Rita likes to do. Do you understand? So, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I sound crazy.
But that's why you're an artist now. Like, you're not able to inhabit these characters if you don't go into places that language doesn't
get to. I agree.
Yeah.
I guess so. But I just sound crazy. I was doing one interview and I'm talking to this man. He's just looking at me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. It looks like I'm not.
Yeah.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. He said, No, it's okay. You know? But I just felt like for a minute, I'm like, oh, Rita, you actually do sound
Just went deep.
Yes, because somebody who's not in the industry or who's not an artist, you will sound off to the person.
Yes,
really.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Does it help that you're... Is it help that because you are a celebrity and you're successful and you're famous, so some of that craziness is excused? Meanwhile, if you were not, people would have been like, what is wrong with you?
But I suppose it's always been that way, even before I became celebrated, right. before the fame came. Because
right.
I studied theatre.
Yes, at
UniPort. So exactly. Yeah. So we were taught all these things anyway.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, so it's always been that way.
Yeah.
And I don't really. It's my work is my craft. If you don't understand it,
that's up to you.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like?
It was beautiful. Well, I come from a family of four. I'm sure everybody knows that I'm the last child. My parents were both medical people, but none of us told that line share. Nobody studied medicine or science or anything.
Any of this thing.
You know, and I started performing from an early age of five.
Right.
Yes, I would act, I would sing, I would dance, you know, things like that, you know. So I think from an early age, my family members already knew I was going to be in arts.
Right.
So nobody questioned it, they tracked, they even supported me and helped me, you know. Right. And growing up was fun. It was fun, basically. It was fun.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Even though there were moments where, let's leave that part out.
But that's the
growing up was fun.
Because for me as a fan of yours, it's, you know, sometimes when we watch art, I'm like, one of the reasons I'm grateful to do this show or to be in this industry is that you can watch something and be so affected by it that you can talk to the person.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, when you watch sometimes, so for me, it's when I watch these things, I'm not curious about the person acting this, not just the character, but the person.
Yeah.
What is it in your experience or in your life? Or, you know, so you're watching this and thinking, I'm interested in talking to Rita about how she grew up and where she grew up and what are the experiences in her life. So
I grew up in different places. I was the only one born in Nigeria.
Ah, right.
Yeah. So I grew up in Kwara State, Okene and Lokoja area.
Right.
And we left there, moved to Aba.
Right. That's you and your parents.
My parents and my older siblings.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to tell you. Okay, let me tell you one funny thing.
Okay.
So there's a huge gap between, well, not that huge gap between my older ones and I, because my mom said it was a mistake.
My mom said it was a mistake.
They didn't plan to have me.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, so because they didn't plan to have me.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why I don't have citizenship or British citizenship or something. I don't know. However, she always told me that out of all her children, I know my siblings would be upset when they hear this one. Hey! That I'm the strongest out of all her children.
Yeah.
You know, So she felt like I was just strong mentally and all that.
Yeah.
And also, when I was a child, I would watch any and everything on television. So they used to call me TV Eyes. Yeah, so I'll just be watching. I think I just was fascinated by the lights and everything. Mm-hmm. And my mom always told me that it was from then she knew that this child will be an artist. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't surprised because she herself actually wanted to be in the arts many years ago. She wanted to be a photographer. And I'm talking about, like as far back as maybe 50s, and her father refused.
At that time,
you know. So, yeah, so she, and I think that's one of the reasons she nurtured my talent and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you look, again, like I said, a lot of things I've always wanted to ask you. When you look at your 23 years, started with A Time to Kill.
No, actually, I started with the one with Basoj, something guy.
My guy.
My guy
was before.
Yes.
Oh, really?
My guy came out later.
Yes. My guy was Basoj. I think there were some other comedians in my
Ali
guy.
Alibaba.
Alibaba. Yes. I remember a casting with Alibaba talking to Basoj.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
That was my first film.
Have you enjoyed these 23 years as an actor?
I mean, there've been ups and downs. Obviously, I mean, it can't be smooth sailing, you know. But most of all, well, I have enjoyed mostly, and put it that way, you know. But I've had my low moments, you know.
What could those possibly be?
So let me tell you something. I don't know if I've said this publicly. I don't know. So there was a time when I felt, many years ago, people weren't really, or we worked a lot with the marketers.
Yeah.
And they weren't used to, you know, talking to management. They were used to easy access, direct access to you. So I started working with the manager, which is my business partner, Mildred, because she manages my career as well. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge. But I was bent on changing things, or at least for myself, you know, because I felt like we needed some sort of structure if we wanted this thing to work and, you know, go further or advance our careers. We needed to start letting them understand that we work with management and things like that.
Yeah.
So obviously, they didn't like it, but I think they gave me a silent ban.
Right, yes.
Without saying anything.
Yes.
They're like, oh, because I used to trickle down certain things that they would say, you know, a few of them. And I can understand, you know, people don't like change, you know, sometimes, especially when you've been doing the same thing for so long and it has worked for you, you know. So I didn't get work for a long time. I didn't, you know. Now, before then, Mildred and I had talked. She had already started producing and doing all that, you know. But we had toyed with the idea of forming a company together and shooting productions and all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when that lingered for a while, I'd say, you know what? Let's go ahead with this thing. Let's produce content.
Right. So that might enabled you.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And that's how I went on this other, it put me on this that trajectory.
Yeah.
And I started producing, did my first film, The Meeting.
Yeah.
And gave myself, well, I wasn't going to do the role, but we ended up, you know, doing the role. Yeah. And The Meeting became very successful.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So The Meeting came out from that time of the silent ban.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That was a blessing then.
It was a blessing.
I mean, eventually.
And I think God wanted, I think, you know, sometimes the powers that be, you might think that you're moving in a direction you don't want. You want things to happen a certain way. Mm. But they might actually let you achieve the same goal through another route.
Yes.
And that's what happened with me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. In terms of powers that be, for people who are watching, you're talking about like the forces in the universe, the things
the
that
universe,
are happening. Not powers that be like politicians.
No, not
the powers, yes.
The universe.
Yeah.
The Earth.
You've been in Nollywood, you know. You've been in old Nollywood, Nollywood, in the middle.
Yes, Nollywood, all of them.
Because The Meeting was actually in the middle. The Meeting was at that middle where we are coming out of old Nollywood.
We were just starting.
Yes.
Yeah, so Meeting was one of the ones that started this new phase, sort of.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So this industry, this Nollywood you've been in, what do you think of it?
I think that we've grown tremendously.
Mm.
I believe that we still have a long way to go, but I believe that we are on the right track, you know, gradually.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I first started working in Nollywood, we didn't have a lot of things that we have now. We didn't have cinemas, we didn't have streaming platforms, we didn't have cable TV.
Yeah.
You know, now an artist or a filmmaker can create their content and find places to disseminate, find places that they can put it and make some money from it.
Mm.
And people get to see their work. We didn't have that before. It was only you shoot, the marketers take it to the market, put it on VCD and release it to the market, you know. Now we're reaching a wider audience. We didn't have that before, you know. And you have more and more people who have studied the art of filmmaking coming into the industry. And there's some people who were in the industry who have even gone to further their education in filmmaking, they've done courses in filmmaking.
Yeah.
And obviously, at the end of the day, when you bring that knowledge into art or into the industry that you're in, there's bound to be a positive change.
Yeah.
You know, so I've seen those changes, and it's still going to get better.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm proud of my industry. I know there will have our shortcomings and all, but I mean, Nollywood produced films like 76, The Meeting, La Femme Angela, you know, October 1, Ego Boyo's silent film.
Yes.
And even the one with the Kate Henshaw,
what's the name of that fantastic film? Yeah. The one where Kate Henshaw was a police woman.
Amazing. Living in Bondage, the remake.
The sequel too.
So, I mean, Bollywood has produced all these brilliant films that can compete internationally.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I'm proud.
I want to move away from just a bit from the work. Mm. You know, why are you so private? Did something lead? And I think that as your career, let me stop there. If I ask, why are you so private?
Because I believe that my life is already out there. Mm. The work I do is already out there. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are certain things I'd like to keep to myself.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I guard my personal life jealously.
But you were not always like, you've not always been, but
yes.
It seems that there was a time in the early 2000s when you just decided, this one is for me.
That's the thing. As you get older, and you see certain things happen, and you decide, I'm not sure I really want this for me. Mm. You see things happen to other people, maybe to you too, you know, and you decide as you get older and you advance in your career. And obviously, social media too started coming, and that felt very, so I just decided, okay, you know what, there's certain things about my life I'd like to keep private. I wouldn't really want it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, my life is already out there. Like, my work is out there.
Yeah.
I'm Rita Dominic. People know about my work, about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me keep some things to myself and just cherish those things, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that sometimes become claustrophobic?
When I keep stuff to myself?
Yes. Do you sometimes feel... I don't know.
So it's not... I have like very close
friends.
Yeah, so those ones, exactly. So
right.
I have that.
Right.
And I have my family.
Right.
So they know everything.
Right.
And they don't... I mean, we respect each other's... We respect our privacy. So they understand the sort of job I do. And they understand to keep certain things private for me as well.
So,
but it doesn't... I mean, but... and I think I know what you want to ask. Go ahead.
What do I want to ask?
Somebody asked me this question yesterday.
Okay, which of them? Okay. I don't know if that is it, but so I was surprised last year when you suddenly put the picture that
I knew
internet.
It.
Because for me, it's like I hate to be predictable, but for me, it was like this is so unlike you.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening? Was it an unscripted moment? Was it a moment of joy? Was it, you know
everything,
what?
Everything. So that's the thing. Like, oh my goodness, Chude. Anyway, it just happened.
Hmm.
A spur of the moment, happiness,
right.
You know. And once in a while, you want to share certain things with people.
Yeah.
And I felt like my lovers who have been there for me for decades, you know.
Mm.
We all had a bad year last year with COVID and everything. They could do with some happy news. So that was it.
But you are giggling and blushing about this news.
Because I don't...
It's just like, you are struggling.
Yes, I am struggling. Because I'm not used to talking about...
Yes, I know that.
That's part of my life, you know.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah.
But were you worried after, as somebody who is very private, you were not worried?
No. Once I made up my mind.
Mm.
So I didn't really care what, you know, I made up my mind to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we made up our minds to
do that.
Yeah, so.
Because, and there's a last question on this. Mm. Because I know you, I've known you, and you're private. I know him, I've worked with him. So
I know
that he's also private.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And a very kind human being, by the way. Because I remember many years ago, I was ill, and he had called me, and he had said, "Richard, how are you sounding?" And I'm like, "Oh, uncle, I'm ill." Mm. And he says, "Oh, no, I'll take you to Eco Hotel for 1 week.
Oh, are you sweet?
I'm like, "Oh, is that how it happens?"
Oh, yes.
So he took me to the car, just dropped me there for a week. I think that was a week of the EMVC.
Yeah.
So I was just
there
for a week.
Just enjoying yourself.
Yes,
yes.
right.
So can we just move
on? Yes, we'll move on from that. I can sense we'll move on from that. But does it annoy you when people talk about marriage with you? The question. I mean, I did an interview last week.
Mm.
So Elvina Ebru interviewed me on my show. And she asked me about marriage. I'm like, you know what? I'm even tired.
Yeah.
I'm 35. I'm a man.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what? Leave, put you leave me alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Has that question over time gotten more irritating? How have you responded to it? What do you think of it?
So, you know, Obviously, at different points, it will annoy you because it's not about marriage, for goodness sake. You know, we make it such a big deal. Mm. You force people, put pressure on people, and they go in, they rush into this this union and they make mistakes because they're trying to please the public, you know. And right now, I mean, over the years, I mean, it stopped irritating me because, you know, people will speculate what they want to speculate, you know what I mean? And they will only speculate because they don't have anything tangible. So they start to create stories and all this rumor and all these things. And I got to a point where I became really strong that I would actually laugh at all the assumptions and everything. I'm like, oh, if only you guys know, you know? If only you guys know, you know? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, look, being popular or being out there, you have to come to terms with the fact that people will create stories that are untrue, completely untrue. Mm. Now, some people will argue and say, there's no smoke without fire. Mm. And my response to that is, darling, there are smoke machines.
You know, I remember many years ago, I was working with somebody who was accused of sleeping with the vice president at the time. Hmm. And we should even know this vice president. So that, you know, and then people say there's no smoke without fire. And I realized, no, this thing, this smoke has no fire.
Absolutely.
Behind.
Absolutely.
I don't think people understand that. There are some rumors that come from nowhere.
Exactly. Like, people can wake up today and create a rumor about today that's completely unfounded, completely untrue. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
It happens.
Let's I want to come back and talk about La Femme.
It's actually La Femme.
Oh, La Femme. Yes. Right. Yes. I want to talk about, oh my God, those sex scenes with Nonso. I thought, so it's not about the sex scenes, even though it's about the sex scenes, but it's not about the sex scenes. It's about the art of them.
Yes.
In the moment, and because it's Nigeria, we've not explored some things properly, if it's sensationalized. Mm. In that moment that you're doing this scene, in a space where people don't do them, do you worry that people will be like, oh, this is gratuitous, this is unnecessary, you know, or how do you navigate, you know, because in Hollywood, or even in Bollywood, or even in some woods in Spain, you know, there are places where people, everything is art, you know, and everything is significant, you know. But when you're doing these things here that are pushing the envelope, so to speak, how do you process them? How do you come to them?
Well, you see, you have to look, the world has changed. Nollywood is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
We're all connected, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.
Or through the internet.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to make a film, a new noir film, now, new noir genre has a femme fatale, a corrupt police detective, the young man in love, you know, smoke and fire and things like that, blood.
Yes.
Now, gore. So you have to realize that to make a new noir genre, you have to have those elements in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sex. Did I call sex?
You didn't call sex.
Oh, sex. Sex is. Yes. I mean.
Yeah.
So if you remove sex from, and it's no longer a new noir.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
And most times in that genre, the femme fatale uses sex to her advantage.
Yes.
Yeah. And to make it believable, it has to be in the film. And I understood what we were shooting, and I understood that it was important to this story.
Yeah.
You know. However, when you're shooting these things, don't forget that you have all
the cameramen. Of course, we know now. Cameramen, production manager.
So it's quite technical.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's very technical.
I know.
You know. Yeah. So that's why, for me, if you're even going to shoot all those like very intimate scenes and be up and close with another actor in that regard.
Yeah.
Make sure you have an on-screen professional chemistry with the person because there's not everyone you can be that up close with, you know, and be able to portray the way you should be portrayed.
Is there going to be, this is a ridiculous question to ask for some people, is there going to be a sequel?
We don't know. I know what you're asking.
Because this, I think I know what you think I'm going to ask, and maybe it is, but there's the fact that this story was La Femme Anjola. But I didn't get to really meet Anjola, you know, deliberately. So this was more, this man's life is crumbling.
Yes.
And this is the woman orchestrating the crumbling.
Yes, yes.
But then she only gives us bits. and peace. So I think they were wondering, so even the story she told about growing up, is it true?
Oh my goodness, Chude, you are brilliant. You are so brilliant. Chude, you're the first person who has said that to me.
Right.
Because I tell them, look, even the husband, we're talking about this.
They wouldn't know. Yeah, well, okay.
Because this woman is a very mysterious character.
Yes.
Nobody really knows her.
Yes.
Which is why it was told that way.
Yes.
Jen, that's why you know. That's why you feel like you were left wanting more.
More.
To know more about this person.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of a femme fatale.
Yes.
It's a mysterious person. You don't know much about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we don't know about the sequel. We'll see.
Yeah. Because there's so much. It's like, so is she really married to him? Yes. And what was the, you know, the who was in on this? Who wasn't in on this?
Exactly.
Who was sidetracked? You know, just everything. Yes. There's so many strands.
Yes. Angela,
there's a Sean Farquhar.
Yeah, exactly.
Angela.
And Angela is, she sees the whole world as a big chessboard.
Yes.
And the pieces are the human beings.
Yes. Why are you so private? Did something lead? And I think that as your career... Let me stop there. If I ask, why are you so private?
Because I believe that my life is already out there.
Mm.
The work I do is already out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's certain things I'd like to keep to myself.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I guard my personal life jealously.
But you were not always like,
yes.
It seems that there was a time in the early 2000s when you just decided, this one is for me.
That's the thing. As you get older and you see certain things happen and you decide, I'm not sure I really want this for me.
Mm.
You see things happen to other people, maybe to you too, you know, and you decide as you get older and you advance in your career. And obviously, social media too started coming and that felt very, you know. So I just decided, okay, you know what, there's certain things about my life I would like to keep private. I wouldn't really want it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, my life is already out there. Like, my work is out there.
Yeah.
I'm Rita Dominic. People know about my work, about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me keep some things to myself and just cherish those things, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that sometimes become claustrophobic?
When I keep stuff to myself?
Yes. Do you sometimes feel... I don't know.
So it's not... I have, like, very close...
Friends. Yeah.
So those ones... Exactly. So I have that.
Right.
And I have my family.
Right.
So they know everything.
Right.
And they don't... I mean, we respect each other's... We respect our privacy. So they understand the sort of job I do. And they understand to keep certain things private for me as well.
So...
But it doesn't... I mean, but... And I think I know what you want to ask. Go ahead. Somebody asked me this question yesterday.
Okay, which of them?
Okay.
I don't know if that is it, but so I was surprised last year when you suddenly put the picture that
I knew it.
Because for me it's like I hate to be predictable, but for me it was like this is so unlike you.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening? Was it an unscripted moment? Was it a moment of joy? Was it, you know
everything,
what?
Everything. So that's the thing. Like, oh my goodness, today. Anyway, it just happened.
Hmm.
A spur of the moment, happiness,
right.
You know. And once in a while, you want to share certain things with people.
Yeah.
And I felt like my lovers who have been there for me for decades, you know.
Mm.
We all had a bad year last year with COVID and everything. They could do with some happy news. So that was it.
But you are giggling and blushing about this news.
Because I don't...
It's just like, you are struggling.
Yes, I am struggling. Because I'm not used to talking about...
Yes, I know that.
That's part of my life, you know.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah.
But were you worried after? As somebody who is very private, you were not worried?
No. Once I made up my mind.
Mm.
So I didn't really care what, you know. I made up my mind to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we made up our minds to
do that.
Yeah, so.
Because, and this is the last question on this, because I know you, I've known you, and you're private. I know him, I've worked with him, so I know that he's also private, you know, and a very kind human being, by the way. Because I remember many years ago, I was ill, and he had called me, and he had said, Uchidi, how are you sounding? And I'm like, oh, uncle, I'm ill. And he says, oh, no, no, I'll take you to Echo Hotel for 1 week. I'm like, oh, is that how it happens? So he took me to the car, just dropped me there for a week. I think that was the week of the AMVC. Yeah. So I was just there
just
for a week.
Just enjoying yourself.
Yes, yes. Right, right.
So can we just move
on? Yes, we'll move on. We'll move on from that. I can sense. Yeah. We'll move on from that. But does it annoy you when people talk about marriage with you? The question. I mean, I did an interview last week. Mm. So Elvina Ebru interviewed me on my show. Mm. And she asked me about marriage. I'm like, you know what? I'm even tired. Yeah. I'm 35. I'm a man.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what? Leave what you leave me alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Has that question over time gotten more irritating? How have you responded to it? What do you think of it?
So, you know, obviously at different points, it'll annoy you because it's not about marriage, for goodness sake. You know, we make it such a big deal. You force people, put pressure on people, and they go in, they rush into this this union and they make mistakes because they're trying to please the public, you know. And right now, I mean, over the years, I mean, it stopped irritating me because, you know, people will speculate what they want to speculate, you know what I mean? And they will only speculate because they don't have anything tangible. So they start to create stories and all this rumor and all these things. And I got to a point where I became really strong that I would actually laugh at all the assumptions and everything. I'm like, oh, if only you guys know, you know? If only you guys know, you know? Yeah, so, you know, look, being popular or being out there, you have to come to terms with the fact that people will create stories that are untrue, completely untrue. Now, some people will argue and say, there's no smoke without fire. And my response to that is, darling, there are smoke machines. Yes.
Do you feel lucky, blessed, whatever, to be able to place, because that character, just like Domitian's character, and 76, which we can do an entire episode about, you know, you are carrying a lot of stories inside you.
Yeah.
This is carrying Lagos inside it.
Yes.
It's carrying the nature of power inside it. It's carrying so many sub-Nigerian things.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think that you're going to wake up at the age of 80 and think, man, I was badass?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's the idea, because I think that every actor wants to leave this legacy of work that is admirable, you know, and mouth-watering, you know.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that's yes, that I wake up at 80 and say, ha ha, I did my thing.
You know the vibes that you give.
Yeah.
I feel like you're a star that would fit anywhere in the world.
Wow.
I think so. Like, not just even
you
in
need
the...
to repeat.
Not just in your acting, but also in your persona.
Wow,
in your,
thank you.
In being a star. Mm. Have you ever felt that this space might have limited you just a bit? Have you ever wanted to, you know, I don't know.
Well, for me, I just want my work to be seen, to reach a wider audience, which is what I've been working towards for years.
Yes.
You know, I just want my work to be seen.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, I want to be able to work anywhere in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what it is. So it's like this work.
Yeah.
It's just where, how far can it go?
Yes.
How far
that's it for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I want it to go further than
very
where it is. Just people to watch what we do, you know, watch my work.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what
the three female partnerships that I adore, because you can see when these partnerships accelerated these careers.
Mm.
It's yours with Milfred.
Yes.
It's Jean-Vive with Chini,
yes.
And it's Asha with Chini.
Yes, actually. You see, women can do things together.
Yes.
I think it's time we start changing.
Anyway,
we're changing the status quo.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was interviewing somebody here. Oh, it was Amotola I was talking to.
Okay.
And I was saying something about, oh, you know, they've always pits you, Amotola against Genevieve.
Mm.
And why do you do that with women? And she corrected me and said, they do it with men too.
Mm.
They pit Wizkid against Davido.
Actually.
They pit Davido against Burna Boy. So
absolutely.
This narrative
that
it's only women, that women don't support women,
yes.
or women fight women,
yeah.
or all of that. It's like, no, it's actually not true. There's so many counter narratives.
Yes, absolutely true. There were, well, you're right, actually. Yeah, you're right. So maybe I should withdraw that. No, I'm not going to withdraw it.
Right.
However, I think that we're doing a good job changing the status quo.
Right.
More and more women are doing beautiful collaborations, working well together, you know, and
Is it a blessing to have a creative collaborator who gets the vision?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I mean, when you guys thought, I mean, I remember when we first acquired the rights, the script, to La Femme Angela.
Yeah, from Tunde Babalola.
Tunde Babalola, he wrote it. He's awesome, you know. Amazing. I remember Mildred reading it. And she said to me, Ree, I'd like you to look at the script. I read it. Do you know, I read it to the end. You see what happened to you when you watched the film the first time?
Yes.
That's what happened to me. I started from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Mm. We have to do it. We both got it. So, you know, we knew that we had to, this film needed to be shot the way it needed. Like, it needed to be shot well.
Mm-hmm.
It needed the right budget to execute it. Yes, which is why we kept it for 4 years.
Yes.
Because we didn't have the budget.
Yes.
And you know, and not shooting with the right budget would be doing a disservice to the story.
To the story.
So
it's one of those stories where you think you need the budget to do this.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not
so absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And luckily we found, you know, the budget investors and then we shot it and that's it. I don't know. I think I just really think differently from a lot of people or I don't know. What I mean by that is there's certain things I don't let get to me. There's certain things I see life differently.
Yes.
For me, I may not have birthed them, but I have children that I take care of. I have people that I take care of. Do you understand what I mean? So, you know, I would love to have my own children, you know. However, I have children.
Right.
Let me just put it that
so
way.
So it means that whatever that, if I'm hearing you, is that whatever that maternal instinct people are talking about, it's expressed.
Yes, it's expressed through this.
Yes.
Let me put it that way.
Right. What do you think of the institution of marriage, though?
Oh, I respect it. My parents were married they were close till they both passed on.
Yeah.
So I do respect the institution, which is why I've always said to myself, I will not let the pressure get to me and make a mistake because I want to do it and stay in it and do it forever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I want to be sure. I mean, you can't really be too sure, but at least.
But at least as sure as it's reasonably possible.
Exactly, as sure as reasonably possible.
Yeah.
You know? So I do respect that institution.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, I would say to people, look, the wedding, the events is nice, but it's the marriage that's important.
Yeah.
After the event is over, how would you feel about this person in the next 10 years, you know? That has always been very important because I watched my parents be in love, grow old together, you know? And they were friends. Obviously, I mean, there's no marriage that's easy.
Perfect.
They all had their shortcomings and all that, but they loved themselves till they died, you know?
Yeah.
And they were that close that even after my mother died, my dad never recovered from it.
Right.
They were so close. In fact, he fell ill and just deteriorated after that's because of how close they were. And I admire that. That's what I want
for
myself.
Yeah.
La Femme Angela is in cinemas nationwide. Please go and watch. Take your friends, your family. And if you've watched it so far, thank you so much. Thanks for supporting my career for 23 years. I love you guys so much. Thank you. And thanks, Chude, for having me on your show.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.